Okay, Rabosai. The first part of our discussion today, oh, Shalom Aleichem, a lot of new faces here. How you doing? Wow, Byron and Jeremy, good to see you. Happy Canada Day. The first thing is the Gemara Bava Basra. You have the Mara Makomas page, and that's going to be the first few minutes of our discussion, and hopefully we'll be able to swing back to it at the end of the Shia. But the bulk of the Shia we will dedicate to the Ramban in his explanation of the Nevuah of Bilam and the purpose of the Nevuah of Bilam. So let's begin with the Gemara Bava Basra. Moshe Kosav Sifro Uparshas Bilam. The Eov. Now, we're not going to discuss Eov, but Moshe wrote his Sefer, and he also wrote Parshas Bilam. That's a little bit strange. Why is Parshas Bilam singled out? Moshe wrote the entire Torah. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Nivuaso u'mishalav, the Nivuah of Bilam and the Mishalim, afal pisha einon tzorche Moshe, v'torasso, v'seder masav. Rashi is saying that torasso means Torah's Moshe. And Bilam's Nivuah, the parasha of Bilam, is not part of Torah's Moshe. In other words, each parsha was said to someone or about someone. Let's say, for example, if you read parshas Vayera, you're talking about Avram Avinu. What makes it into Torah's Moshe is the fact that Moshe writes it and he records it. That makes it into Torah's Moshe. So Rashi asks the following question. If there are various parshios that are addressed to other people, they're not addressed to Moshe, and yet they're part of Torah's Moshe, why is Parshas Bilam singled out? Moshe wrote Torah's Moshe, and he wrote Parshas Bilam. Why is Parshas Bilam any different than Parshas Lech Lecha or Parshas Vayetze? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself to Yaakov Avinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu receives a dictation, if you will, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write the parsha about Yaakov Avinu in the Torah. It becomes incorporated in the Torah. It's part of Torah's Moshe. Why then is Parshas Bilam outside of Torah's Moshe? True, it was addressed to Bilam, but then Hashem dictated it to Moshe. Moshe recorded it. It becomes part of the corpus called Torah, and it's Torah's Moshe. Why is it less Torah's Moshe than any other parsha in the Torah? And this is what bothers Rashi. And Rashi gives an answer, which I'm not sure we understand, but Rashi says that Parshas Bilam remains a separate entity. Because even though that which was told to the Avos is not considered Miseder Masav, it's not Maisim Shel, it's not recording the sequence of events in the life of Avram Avinu, yet it becomes Torah's Moshe. And Rashi therefore is bothered, why not apply the same yardstick to Parshas Bilam? Why is it separate and outside of Torah's Moshe? Why is it a separate entity? And Rashi gives the following answer. Rashi says, Einon mitzorche Moshe, it's not mitzorche Moshe. Okay, so what is mitzorche Moshe? You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu lech lecha mi'artzecha, that's also not mitzorche Moshe, nor is it miseder ha'masav. So on the one hand, we appreciate that Rashi empathizes with us. He feels for our problem. He's groping and trying to figure out why Parshas Bilam is separate from Torah's Moshe. Moshe Kosov Sifro V'U Parshas Bilam. But the answer Rashi gives really doesn't answer the question. And perhaps in order to begin to explain this Rashi, we should take a moment to ask ourselves the question, when we talk about Torah's Moshe, what does that mean? What does the word Torah mean? And if you take a look at Rashi in Masech Tachulim, Rashi tries to answer a different question in Masech Tachulim, the second source on your page, and that is, why is Torah called Torah, and the rest, which is the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, those don't have the status of Torah. Torah only refers to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So Rashi says that what the Nevi'im receive in Ruach HaKodesh is only relevant Litzorech HaShah VeHadar VeHamaseh. It has a specific relationship to one particular moment in time and one particular generation. Not so in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah's Moshe is nitna Torah l'doros. Torah means Horah. There are teachings here that are for all generations. And this reminds us of Rashi at the very beginning of Chumash. You remember that Rashi, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, asked the question, why did the Torah, Elohaya, Torah tzricha lahaschil, Ela b'achodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, shi mitzvah rishona, shenitztavu ba Yisrael, umatam posak b'reishis? Rashi wants to know, why is the story of creation part of the Torah? And Rashi gives an answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Klal Yisrael a basis for their claim to the land of Israel. So the Maharal Miprag on that Rashi at the very beginning of Chumash explains that since Torah is Miloshen Horah, meaning that Torah is meant to teach us how to live, how to act, there are 613 mitzvahs. Torah equals 613 mitzvahs. And therefore, the first of the 613 is HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. The Torah should have started with HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. So we have now the following equation. Torah equals Horah. Horah equals Mitzvah. Mitzvah equals Lidoros for all generations. Nevi'im are not called Torah because the Nevi'im are addressing a need of the hour in a particular generation. Torah means Horah Lidoros for all generations. It's interesting that the Ramban, in his introduction to the Chumash, which I have here in the third source on your page, he sort of sideswipes Rashi's question, sidesteps it. He says, HaTorah Yichlal HaSipurim Mitchilas Breishis. It's very logical for the Torah to include all the stories from the story of creation. Why? Ki Hu Moreh. Right, Torah is Miloshen Orah, so this is all part of Torah. Mora anoshim b'derech b'inyan emuna. In other words, even teaching us and guiding us about how we should believe, that's also a Horah shel Torah, and therefore it's part of the Torah. So as Rashi understands, and that's how the Maharal embellishes it, that Torah, Horah, Lidoros means mitzvos, the Ramban has a much broader definition of Torah, Miloshen Horah, and included in Horah, says the Ramban, is Horah Semuna, anything that teaches us how to believe. And if we have to believe in creation, which is a fundamental, that is part of Torah, that is Miloshen Horah. If this is the case, then if we swing back to the Rashi in Bava Basra that we began with, and Rashi's telling us that Parshas Bilam is a separate independent entity, and it's not part of Torah's Moshe, because Torah's Moshe is Horah, then Rashi is telling us that Parshas Bilam is not called Horah Lidoros. And that's a Pella, that's really something very, very difficult. Why isn't Parshas Bilam a Limud Lidoros? We learn so many things from Parshas Bilam about the beauty and the unique, singular nature of the Jewish people, etc. Why is not that is not called a Horah Lidoros? So according to Rashi, that Horah Lidoros means mitzvos. Okay, nicha. But it's very difficult to say, therefore, that according to Rashi, the Parshios of the Avos, for example, are not part of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah includes anything that's relevant Lidoros, and there are many things that we learn Lidoros from the Avos, and all the stories, that the episodes in the lives of the Avos, the Mos, And the same logic should apply to Parshas Bilam. We still haven't justified why Parshas Bilam is a separate entity outside of Torah's Moshe. And Rashi says, because Einam Litzarche Moshe V'Torasso V'Seder Masov, what's that all about? So Rabosai, this is the introduction to the Shia. And Bili Neder, we'll come back to this at the very end. Right now, what we want to focus on is the nature of the Nevuah of Bilam. The Ramban is of the opinion that Bilam is a kosem. In English, they translate it as a diviner, some sort of a sorcerer, I don't know. Looks into, you know, the glass balls. What do they call them? What do they call those little balls that they look into? Crystal balls, right? The crystal balls. And the Ramban spends a great deal of time trying to prove that Bilam is not really capable of Nevuah. The entity of Nevuah, that concept, is not applicable to Bilam. Now, the Ramban has a problem, because Chazal, and we'll soon see that the Ramban quotes this Chazal, identify Bilam's Nevuah as equal to, if not superior to, that of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And how is the Ramban going to juggle this? On the one hand, his opinion that Bilam's Nevuah is very low on the totem pole. It's inferior to all the Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael. How much more so to Moshe Rabbeinu? And yet, Chazal equate the Nevuah of Bilam with the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So without further ado, let's take a look at this large, long, and complex presentation of the Ramban at the beginning of Perek Chof Dalid in Sefer Bamidbar. This is the fourth source on your page. And the Ramban says the following. The Al Tachshov Bazeh Zulasi Masha Perashnu. Don't think that what I told you is incorrect. Based on the statement of the Sifri, you might come to conclude that everything that I said about Bilam's Nevuah is incorrect. And the Sifri comments on the Pasuk, V'lokam Navi Od B'Yisrael Kimoshe, at the very end of the Torah, this is in Dvarim, Perek Lamed Dalid. Says the Sifri, Be Israel, O come, Be Umos Olam come. The Ezezeh Bilam. Amongst the nations of the world, we have a powerful prophet that's equal in status to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Bilam. Ella, the Sifri continues, Hefresh Yesh Be Nevuas Moshe and Nevuas Bilam. There are three different distinctions between the Nevuah of Moshe and the Nevuah of Bilam. And in all these three distinctions, it would seem that the Nevuah of Bilam is superior to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's go through the three distinctions. Number one, Moshe lo hayodea ma midaber imo. Moshe had no clue what Hashem would say to him. Bilam knew in advance exactly what God would tell him. That's the first distinction. Number two, Moshe lo hayodea masai medaber imo shenemar medaber elov. Moshe would not know when Hashem would decide to speak to him. Bilam hayodea masai medaber imo. Bilam knew exactly when God would speak to him. Shenemar ni'um shomea imreel viodea das elyon. That's number two. And number three, Moshe lo hayim edaber imo ela mi'umad shenemar viata po amodi madi. Bilam hayim edaber imo kshu nofel. Moshe had to stand up. Bilam could be falling down, he could be laying down. Shenemar, nofel u'gilu einayim. So Moshe had no idea what Hashem was going to say to him. He didn't know when Hashem would speak to him. And he had to always be in a receptive state of amida. Amida is like, you know, a person who stands in front of the king. He's overwhelmed with awe and trepidation. Bilam, on the other hand, knew exactly what Hashem was going to tell him. He knew exactly when Hashem would speak to him, and he could be laying down as well. And then the Sifri concludes with a mashal. Mashal l'tabacho shel melech. Interesting. Sometimes the cook, the king's cook, knows more than the highest officer in the entire kingdom. Because if you ask what is the menu of the king, or if you ask how much money is being spent to fill the food of the table of the king, the highest officer in the kingship might not know the answer to that question. The cook knows the answer. So the Ramban now is miyashev why this Sifri is not a contradiction to his fundamental principle. And he says that the bayer, the explanation of the Brisa in the Sifri is the following. Bibnei shamar kosel kom navi mo'im od be Yisrael kemosha asher yado Hashem ponim el ponim. The pasuk describes at the end of Sefer Dvarim that Hashem knows Moshe face to face. Yidrashu Rabbi Hussein Zichron Levracha she'enenu ba ato l'saper b'mayla she'en levuas Moshe al shara neviyim. The pasuk is not explaining how Moshe Rabbeinu's status and his prophecy is superior to all the other prophecies and other prophets, because that already was presented in Sefer Shmos shekvar odia osanu maloso aleihem, his superiority over all the other prophets b'shnei makomos. Number one, in Sefer Shmos Perek Vav, the pasuk Va'era al Avraham el Yisrael Yaakov Mikel Shakai. Right? Whereas Hashem presents himself to the Avos with Kel Shakai, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he presents himself with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei L'Shem HaGadol. And in addition, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is formulated here in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis, the Pasuk in Yia Nevi'achem, where the Torah says that there may be prophets among you, but they all receive a prophecy in a dream. But with regard to my servant Moshe Rabbeinu, it's going to be pel peh, mouth to mouth. So what does it mean when it says at the end of the Torah, Asher yado ponim el ponim, aval ato lo diber al Moshe sheyeda sheyada hu es Hashem? The point is not being made by this pasuk that Moshe knew God. That's already a different parashin. Kitisa, it says, Hodieni nas rachech veidacha, that God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe knows God. Shalom rakos v'sheyada es Hashem ponim el ponim. The pasuk is not talking about Moshe knowing God face to face, of Al Omar Asher Yedo, but rather Hashem has known Moshe face to face. And what is unique about Moshe's nevuah, as described at the end of the Torah, when it says Asher Yedo Hashem ponim el ponim, Yomar ki leMoshe Rabbeinu tavo mivo eres, that the prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu is crystal clear. With other nevi'im, apparently there's a certain level of ambiguity. You know, it's a bit of a twilight zone. Here, it's broad daylight. If I speak to you face to face, you understand all the nuances of what I say to you. When you speak face to face with someone, you look at the facial features and you read all the body language and the face language, and you recognize from the listener, you know, from the face of the speaker or the face of the listener, exactly what he meant, what his intention was. There's an absolute clarity. And therefore, when the listener hears the speaker, he has absolute clarity, recognizing exactly what the speaker wants to say, and he reads his facial expressions. Oh, so that's the unique nature of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, its clarity. Now, the Sifri says, Lo kam bi Yisrael ke Moshe, but umos ha'olam, there was a Navi who had the same, you know, superior status as Moshe, and that's Bilam. V'yomer ki l'Bilam hoya zeh bi'eis shenibo l'chvod Yisrael, she'omer al divrei Hashem ha'ritzon v'chetzim kol inyan ha'asid lovo lovo. That just like Moshe Rabbeinu has clarity, so too Bilam has clarity, and the clarity of Bilam at the moment that Bilam receives his prophecy is for the sake of the honor of Klal Yisrael. Please underline those words, we'll come back to them. And Bilam had a complete, total understanding of the words of God. He understood his will, he understood his desire with regard to the subject of what would befall Klal Yisrael in the future. So Bilam's understanding of his prophecy, which he received, was as clear as Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding of his prophecy, which he received. The Achal Pichen Yesh Hefresh Bein Nevuah, Nevuas Moshe LeBilam. Now, if you recall, the Sifri says that there are three differences between Bilam's Nevuah and that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we thought that apparently the Sifri's point is to tell us that Bilam's prophecy is superior to that of Moshe. Oh no, that's not what it means. He says, "Ki Moshe lo yodea ma medaber imo bi'eza inyanu ubi'ezo mitzvi etzavenu." The first distinction is that Moshe did not know what Hashem would tell him, or what issue he would address, he with a capital H, or what commandments he would command him. Aval hayahu muchan b'chol eis l'dibur. But on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is superior because he's always ready for Hashem. He doesn't know what Hashem's going to tell him, but he's always there ready to receive the word of God. And Vayakadosh Baruch Hu mitzava osu kafir ratzel lefana. God would command him whatever was in accordance with the will of God. Aval Bilam, Bilam had to concentrate, he had to focus on that matter which he wished to hear God speak to him about. So he couldn't get a nevuah about anything. He could only get a nevuah about that which he was focused on, that which he was concentrating on. He would seclude himself, go into his bodedus. He would prepare his soul to receive the ruach of nevuah. Perhaps Hashem would happen to come towards him. Right, the pasuk says, "Vayikar Hashem leBilam," which means that Hashem happened to come upon him. The Odea Sheim Yochel Olav, he certainly knew that if the spirit of prophecy would rest on him, he would only be able to hear something about the issue which he knew that God would speak to him about. But Moshe didn't know, because Hashem could say anything to Moshe. Number two, Moshe lo yodea masai yedabirimo. Moshe could not anticipate when God would speak to him. Kelo hoya elav eis kavu ledibur. Because Hashem in any moment could speak to him. Bechal eish yachpots Moshe yichavi ledibur yedabirimo. Not only that, Moshe could initiate the dialogue with Hashem, and he would direct his thoughts, and God would speak to him. Kenyon Sha'omar imdu v'yeshma ma'yitzav Hashem. He tells the people of Israel, hang in there, stand by, because God will reveal it to me. He knew that he would get an answer from God. He wasn't telling them, you know, to wait for a long time in the waiting room, in the antechamber. V'chol eish yirtza, she'aratzel fonav. He's what Yiliel's mitzav also. Anytime that God decided it's his will to speak to him, he would speak to Moshe and command him with a mitzvah. Yikrenu me'el moev, yishmas kolam medaber elov. Aval Bilam ayim achavinis hashosh she'yelo adibur bo. Bilam had to work very hard with all his bodedus and all the concentration, and then he would discern that very moment that Hashem would speak to him. V'lo tenuach alav ruach ela b'os hasho. He could only get the Holy Spirit of prophecy to rest upon him at that particular moment. Ulai hi ashasha yaskiru. The Ramban vacillates. Perhaps this is what the Gemara meant in Masechta Brachos and elsewhere, that there was an shas zam. There was a one moment in every day in which Bilam could curse someone, and Bilam was trying to curse the people of Israel by figuring out what that moment is. Maybe, says the Rabban, Bilam could only get prophecy at that moment, which is called a shas zam.
Ask a question.
Yeah, please.
It's not shown from the psukim that Bilam was very medayik in only the things that Hashem actually told him.
Because again, he would prepare himself to get an answer from Hashem on one particular topic. He knew exactly what that topic was. There was no carte blanche, open-ended moment, you know. It was a specific moment on a specific topic. And that's when Bilam could hope to receive prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu is that much greater.
Right, but what I'm saying is the negative side is that in Bilam, it's mashma from the Tzukim that he used the words of Hashem, like I'll be Hashem, to say, but Hashem didn't tell me that I can't do this. So he would go ahead in the next phase of the Parsha, and then Hashem would come back to him and say, no, you can't.
You mean he would sort of misconstrue? He would misconstrue the words of Hashem? Is
no,
that
no,
what you mean?
He was being medayik. It's mashma from the psukim. I know that there's some portion that speak on this. I don't know if Ramban may be hinting to this also already, that he was medayik in Hashem's words in such a way to say that Hashem didn't tell me that, so I'm going to try and go ahead and do something else. And then the next thing we know, 10 psukim later, Hashem says, you can't do that. I don't want you to do that. Or go ahead and do that. And then he says, oh, see, Hashem said I could do this. So he'd go and he'd use Hashem's words.
Okay, but Yudi, what you say is probably true, but what I want to answer is the following question. Whose nevuah was qualitatively superior, that of Moshe or that of Bilam? And what the Ramban is saying is that these three distinctions, which the Sifri enumerates, in order to show that Bilam's nevuah was different than that of Moshe, are all indicative of the inferior status or the inferior quality of Bilam's nevuah. You know, whether Bilam was medayik in the lashon of Hashem and whether
That's what I'm saying. That Bilam used the words like some of the other Mefarshim say. I don't know if this is in the Ramban. I don't remember. I didn't go through the whole thing again. But to say Alpi Hashem in the pasuk is saying, that's what Hashem told me. That's what the Rav told me. So I'm just quoting Hashem. So he's doing what Hashem says. Very nice. But he goes ahead, realizes that the inner meaning is, I shouldn't go ahead, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying, but don't do this, don't do that. He didn't say that, so I'm going to do that. And then Hashem comes back and says, no, don't do that either.
Okay, again, if what you're saying is, because again we have a lot to cover today, that the quality of Bilam's nevuah is inferior to that of Moshe Rabbeinu, then that fits very well into the framework of the Ramban. Okay, great, excellent. And number three, what we find is V'chein Inyan Hamida, and Moshe Rabbeinu has to stand Milo b'Moshe. On the contrary, that proves the superior nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hanafila b'Bilam, why does Bilam fall? Pchisus, that indicates the inferiority of Bilam. Shelo yisbal nevuah, because he doesn't have the physical ability to stand and to receive nevuah. Ke'inyan shenemar, just like at the time of Matan Torah, the people of Israel come and they say to Hashem, you know, if we listen to God's voice directly, we're going to die. You should listen on our behalf. And the mashal of the tabach, where the king's cook knows more than the highest level officer in the king's court. The intention of this particular mashal is to say that the king's senior officer is trusted. Hasar shelo hu neman b'chol beiso v'yomid v'sodo, but lo yedem ha'otzah shulchan. True, the senior officer, he knows all the secrets of the kingship, and the king basically entrusted him the entire house of the king, he doesn't know anything about the expenditures. He didn't get the list of, you know, how much he paid for the carrots and how much he paid, you know, for the fish, for the sushi. He doesn't know all that. And what is this mashal trying to indicate? A mashal is a yoresh edas hachachomim lomar shahisa shayabilim yodeh me'atzmo achrei kavanosa shashem yomelo ma'ekov lo kabo el. Bilam knew on his own, when he would focus on the intention of Hashem, that God would tell him, how can I curse? How can I curse whom God has not cursed? The Chol HaInyan. The Achrichen Yishma Adibur B'milo Sahem Asher Choshev B'libo. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the details because we don't have time. But basically what the Ramban is saying is that Bilam is like the cook in the king's kitchen. He may know certain things, but those things are absolutely futile. But what's important to know as to whether or not God will allow him, Bilam, to curse the Jewish people, that Bilam doesn't know anything. And he says, Ki haya kosem, that Bilam is really a kosem. Tavona asidos belibo. You know, sometimes you have a kosem, and he, you know, certain things about the future might come into his heart. V'ata b'shvil Yisrael yishma b'hem gam hadibur. In essence, if you define the personality of Bilam, he in and of himself is a kosem. That's a very pejorative, negative term. He gets dibur, Hashem speaks to him. That's only b'shvil Yisrael. That's only for the sake of Klal Yisrael. L'fichach hayam ispoyer b'atzmo atalomer ni'um shomea imrei kel. He glorifies himself and boasts about himself. I'm the one who hears the sayings of God. Yeah, you hear the sayings of God. That's not because of your own merits. That's only because of the merits of Klal Yisrael. And now the Ramban summarized it all by saying, V'ra'isi ha'inyan hazeh ha'shoni b'sifi sh'amarnua b'signon ach b'agodah shel Midbar Sinai. He has a Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar. Daily Laharich, I'm not going to go into detail, but Vaklal, the general summary of what we've seen, Ki Kavanosam Lomar Shenevuas Bilam Tovo Elov Bimilos Mivo Aras Lo. All that Chazal want to say here is that the prophecy came to Bilam in words that were clear to him. And why is that so significant? Minatam Sha'omer Shalo Yapischon Peh, please underline these words, Shalo Yapischon Peh Li Umos Ha'olam. Lomar ilu hayin lanu navi kimoshe hayin ovdim lakadosh baruch. The whole purpose here, the whole project of giving the nevuah to Bilam, is so that the nations of the world will not have an excuse to say, "Oh, you know, we also could have served Hashem had we had a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu." But madregas nevuah solamata mishar neviim shehi. B'machzeh shakai k'moshe b'yarno, the Ramban has an explanation above about machzeh shakai. This is the lowest level of the nevuah, which is the nevuah of Bilam. And that's why he says, V'kach omer b'vayikur rabah, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nigleh l'nevi'ei umos ha'olam el b'chatzi dibur. God reveals himself to the nations, the prophets of the nations of the world, with an incomplete communication, a half dibur. Heich b'kama temar v'yokar l'kim el Bilam, and the Medrash illustrates this and demonstrates this from the pasuk v'yikar, and v'yikar means that Hashem happens upon the prophets. Al v'nevi Yisrael b'dibur sholim shenemar v'yikra el Moshe, and that's the superior nature of the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so let's just summarize what we've seen in the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that in truth we don't find nevuah with regard to the Umos HaOlam, and even the nevuah that Bilam receives is really Lechvod Yisrael, and we have to understand now, which I want to see in the Ramban in the next piece, which is Chaf Beis Chaf. But first, before we see Chaf Beis Chaf, I just want to point out one thing. The Ramban says, just one second, Rabban says something important in Chaf Beis Lamed Aleph, which you'll see on page 2 of Yomar Makomos page. And this is after the Ramban says something about Nevuas Bilam. Let me just read that to you. The Ramban says, Amaltam Vayosem. What is the meaning of Vayosem Hashem Davar Bipi Bilam? He says the explanation of the word, and Hashem put into Bilam's mouth. Shelimdo advarm sheyigros osam befif. That means that Hashem wanted to make sure that he would teach the words to Bilam and he would review them with his mouth over and over again. V'lo yishkach, so he doesn't forget. V'lo yapil v'edom, he shouldn't omit anything. Ketam v'lamdos bnei yisrael siva befiem. That Hashem wanted to make sure that Bilam would not only be clear, but he would be accurate. And he would not forget anything that Hashem taught him, and that's why Yosem Hashem Dover Befi Bilam. Then on the Pasuk Vayigal Hashem Es Einei Bilam, the Ramban says the following. Mizeh Akosiv Nilmod Ki Bilam Lohaya Novi. The pasuk says Hashem uncovered Bilam's eyes. Ech yitzarech legili einayim b'riyas ha-malach. His eyes need to be uncovered in order to see an angel. That can only be appropriate. Kashi yomer akosim l'mi shalo yigiel l'nevuah. Kinar Elisha, Hagar Mitzris. The Ramban gives many examples of those who did not reach the level of nevuah. But with regard to nevuah lo yomer kein b'neviim, you won't find Vayigal Hashem is Einov with regard to any Navi. V'kach koro akosuv Bilam ben Biar akosem. Yoshua says about Bilam, he is a kosem, he's a diviner. U'masha Omar, hu kasher yidaber elav Hashem. I, Hashem, spoke to him. That sounds like he is a prophet. Yikra yidioso asidos piksomov dvar Hashem. How could it be called Dvar Hashem? Lichvod Yisrael, Bolo Hashem Balayla, who, for the sake of the honor of Israel, God comes to Bilam at night. The Achrei Chayin, Zocha Legili Einayim B'riyas HaMalach, Ubesof Ola Lamalas Machsa Shakai, Vakol Avur Yisrael Lichvod Achrei Sheshov Liatzu Kosin. Nothing changes in Bilam. He's really just a diviner. But for the sake of the covenant of Israel, he rises to some sort of level of Machza Shakai, a prophetic level. And the Ramban goes on to say that the fact that Klal Yisrael killed Bilam, that's because he wasn't really a Navi at all.
If he was a Navi,
then we couldn't have killed him. That's what the Ramban says. I think we've discussed that in the past, if I'm not mistaken. Alright. Let's try to figure out what the Ramban means that the Nevuah of Bilam was L'chvodom Shal Yisrael. The Ramban in Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Chav, which is the third source on your page 2, says the following, V'chein hoya chofei achefetz L'ashem hanichbad God wanted Bilam to go with them after he commanded Bilam not to curse them. Why? Ki haratzon, please underline, ki haratzon lefan of Yisbarach sheyivarech es Yisrael mipi navi goy. Very strange. There's some sort of special significance to the fact that a navi amongst the goyim would bless the Jewish people. What's that all about? So Rabosai, when we put the pieces of the puzzle together of this presentation of the Ramban with regard to Bilam, the nature of his nevuah, and the purpose of his nevuah, I think we get a picture of what Bilam is all about. the significance of Bilam can only be understood in the context of what I call anti-Semitism, the hatred between the nations of the world and the Jewish nation. Because at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Ramban tells us, and this you'll see in Dvarim Lamed Beis Pasuk Chavav, Aval Hashem Baras Adam V'Tachtonim, what was the purpose of man's creation? Sheyakir Es Boro V'Yoda L'Shmo. Man was put on this earth to recognize God and to praise God. V'Shamar Shus B'Yom L'Har L'Heitim, but God endowed man with freedom of choice. V'Kasher Chatu, and man abused his freedom of choice and willingly sinned and came to the level of Kafar Bo, to deny God. Kulam, the entire human race, Lo Nishagaka Amazel Shmo, this one nation on the face of the earth, and this is what irritates the Goyim, that remains loyal to his name, Upirsein Bahem Osos Umosim Kihu Elokeel Kim Adoni Adoni Vinodu Bahem L'Cholam. The purpose of Klal Yisrael and their unique role is to publicize the great miracles of Hashem and to get the nations of the world to acknowledge that God is the God of all gods, He's the master of all masters. V'hine Im Yoshuv V'Yabed Zichram. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if he will destroy Chas V'Shalom, the Jewish people, Yishkechu Asa'amim Esolses Nosalei Superod, then the entire purpose of creation, Kavanas HaBriya Banim, B'Teilo L'Gamre, will be completely undermined. Because who's going to remember the Osos U'Mofsin? That's the unique contribution and responsibility of Klal Yisrael. Kein Roi Mitzad Adin, Roi Midin HaRatzon Shia B'Briya Sa'olam, the very will which is inherent, embedded in creation, Shiyu Ratzel for Lahakim Lo Am Kol Ayom. It's crucial for Hashem to have one nation that will be maintained, that will continue. This same Krovim Elav, that are close to Him, V'Yodim Osom Mikol Amim. Klal Yisrael is that one unique nation that knows God and recognizes His name, and through the nation of Israel, there will be a pirsum of Shmo B'Chol Olim. And this is the Ramban very consistently in his Pirush on Perek Lamed Beis of Sefer Dvarim, Pasuk Mem, where he says that, you know why the nations of the world harbor such enmity against the Jewish people? Because that enmity and that hatred against the Jewish people, in truth, if you expose it in its very naked, repulsive state, is nothing more than the sin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Basof Yashiv Nakam Litzarov Ulemisanov Yishalim. God will mete out punishment against the enemies of the Jews. Vatam, and why? The deeper meaning, says the Ramban, is Kihem Asu Kol Haros Imanu Lisnoso Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the enemies of God, and they mete out all the evil to Klal Yisrael. Lo Ki Yisnu Es Yisrael. It's not because they really have some sort of direct hatred of the Jewish people. Bavur sha'asu avodah zarah kahem, rak bavur shelo yasu kimaseihem v'yavdu es Hashem, es HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishmur es mitzvos. So they hate the Jewish people because the Jewish people is a nation that's dedicated to serve Hashem. V'lo yischatnu b'hem, they don't want to, and the Jewish people don't want to intermarry with them. V'lo yochlu misimchem, they don't want to eat from their foods. And therefore, says the Rambam, came with sin. Why do we suffer in the diaspora so much at the hands of our enemies? Because in truth, that hatred is really a hatred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they mete it out against us. If you want to primarily define what Golus is all about, says the Rambam, Golus is really nothing more than an expression of the opposition of the Umas Olam to God Himself. They are the enemies of God, and therefore they subjugate the Jewish people, because the Jewish nation are those who reveal the glory of God in this creation. And therefore, what Bilam is doing basically is, for the purpose of the Goyim, the toelis of Bilam is for the Goyim. What does that mean? The Jewish nation is a nation that reveals the glory of God in this world. And now the nations of the world have two choices. They're at a crossroads, if you will. How should they relate to the Jewish people, who are the revealers of the glory of God? Should they subjugate them? Should they persecute them? Should they enslave them? Or should they join together with the Jewish nation and say to the Jewish nation, you know what? How can we help you? We want to come to your side. Give us an opportunity to join with you, join hands with you to reveal the glory of Hashem in this creation. And this is what God reveals to the nations of the world in a very clear way in the prophecy of Bilam. The unique, singular nature of Bilam's prophecy is clarity. And it requires absolute clarity because Bilam is going to teach the nations of the world about the greatness of God. Hein am levadad yishkon. This is a nation that will conquer the promised land, the land of Israel. This is the land which has a direct shefa. God bestows upon this land His, capital H, His surveillance. Not through any intermediary, through any kochav or mazel. The kingship of God is through the land of Israel. And therefore, Bilam is sent to this, to the, shall we say, the front stage of the nations of the world for a very specific purpose. To tell the people, to teach the people about the special status of the Jewish nation and responsibility amongst the Jewish nation. And to basically warn the people, don't come with a piskun peh when the day of judgment comes and you're going to counter argue against God and say, well, we didn't have any prophets. We didn't know about the greatness of the Jewish people. Oh no, that's not going to go very far. Such an argument will be rejected outright. Because God has sent Bilam to the nations of the world so that they, the nations of the world, will recognize the special status of the Jewish people. That's what the Rabban means when he says, Chefetz Hashem Yisbarach, She Yisrael Yisbarachu Mipi Nevi'ei HaGoyim. What is so significant about Klal Yisrael receiving the blessing from the nations? And the answer is that if the Jewish people have a shot at succeeding in filling their unique role and responsibility in the world of the nations, namely, to publicize God's glory, then it's necessary that the Goyim recognize the special status of Klal Yisrael. Otherwise, they throw Klal Yisrael out. We're not concerned with you. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We shun you. You're not a nation that we have to reckon with. The only way the Goyim will recognize the greatness and the stature of Jewish nation is if the bracha that was given by their Navi, by their prophet, their heathen prophet Bilam, will come to fruition. And therefore, if we go back to the original question, what is the purpose of the prophecy of Bilam? It's in order to teach the nations of the world what their responsibility is. Namely, that they should link up with Klal Yisrael and join forces as partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Klal Yisrael to reveal the glory of Hashem. And this, my friends, takes us back to the very famous pasuk by Yomer, Hashem mi Sinai ba, v'zarach mi Seir lomo, hofia mi arparon v'yosem mervos kodesh v'ilo ishtosmo. Rashi says, v'zarach mi Seir lomo, Seir is a code word for Esau. Hashem begins the process of Matan Torah, Har Sinai, with Esav. And he comes to Esav and he says, are you willing to receive the Torah? Oh no, no deal, we're not interested. He comes to Har Paran. Says Rashi, Har Paran is a secret code for Yishmael. Yishmael, will you receive the Torah? They're not interested. HaKadosh Baruch wants to give the Torah to the nations of the world? That's very odd. I mean, back in the snare, the first encounter between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem already reveals to Moshe, that this nation will leave Mitzrayim And after the redemption, they will worship Hashem here on this Mount Har Choriv. That's where they're going to receive the Torah. But now you're telling me no. Hashem is running around amongst the nations, amongst Esav and Yishmael, offering them the Torah? How could it be? Says the Ramban. This is the last Ramban on your page, page 2. The Aldas Rabosenu Tama Kosku Yisinai Ba. Lasseis Torah li Yisrael, Shenigla and Misham, Vizach Misilam li Yisrael, Kinigla al Bnei Esav, Lasseslam a Torah. The Kashalo Ratsu Bnei Esav, Lakabalosa, Heir Ponov li Yisrael. When the nations of the world refuse to receive the Torah, Hashem shines a radiant light, what we call Horus Ponim, to Klal Yisrael. V'noslem v'yimino, the Pasuk says, v'yimino eish dos lomo, u'bizroa. The Torah says, this is the wonderful Horus Ponim with which Hashem reveals the Torah and gives it to Klal Yisrael. V'hofia v'heru lehem yif'aso, they show the beauty of Hadras Ponov and the majesty of God. And all this is because God gives the Torah with Horus Ponim to Klal Yisrael, because the nations of the world don't want to receive it. And what we see clearly from the Ramban, when he says, Yaskir ki hoisa zchus li Yisrael gedolah kasher lo ratzu umos shara umos lekabel haTorah, the nations of the world refuse. They bow, you know, and kowtow out. We're out of here. You know, we're not interested in the Torah. And yet Klal Yisrael receives the Torah. They say, Nasa v'nishma, says the Ramban, this is the great schus of Klal Yisrael, that the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael Horus Ponim, because the nations of the world choose not to accept the Torah. Had they chosen to accept the Torah, they wouldn't have been on the same level as Klal Yisrael. But nevertheless, they would have joined forces with Klal Yisrael. They would have a shaychus to Torah. The Torah would be not just the exclusive possession of the people of Israel. It would have been a universally accepted Torah. But the nations of the world refused to accept Torah. And Klal Yisrael accepted Torah. They reached the level of Zorach Meisir Loro, Hofia Mehar Poron. And now the Yuma Solom rejected Torah. They have no shaychus to Torah. But yet they do have a secondary level. If they don't accept Torah, they missed it, they blew it on the first round, there is a fallback position. They can support the people of Israel. They can recognize the special, unique status and contribution of Klal Yisrael. And instead of subjugating Klal Yisrael and tormenting them in the exiles, what they could have done was say, hey, the people of Israel are a great nation. And they will be punished very severely because they refuse to partner with Klal Yisrael and recognize the greatness of Klal Yisrael. But lest they come in front of God on the day of judgment with a pisklin peh, with a tiny, hey, wait a minute. We didn't know about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Nobody taught us. So Klal Yisrael will counter, wait a minute, you got Nevuas Bilam. The Nevuah of Bilam revealed to the peoples of the world the special tafkid, the special responsibility and status of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Ramban is saying over here. Lo ye pislam pebies sheikamlus onsham lasid lovo. That's what the Ramban means to say that the nevuah of Bilam was lichvodam shal Yisrael. Lichvodam shal Yisrael means to demonstrate to the peoples of the world the covenant of Israel, the great status of Klal Yisrael as a unique nation. But the people of the world refuse to accept the Nevuah of Bilam. They reject not only the Torah, but they reject the Nevuah of Bilam as well. And they will subjugate the Jewish people throughout the generations of bitter Golus. And therefore the Pisklin Peh of the Umos HaOlam, we didn't know anything about this special status, because that's all hunk. That's all a bunch of rubbish. Because they got the Nevuah from Bilam. Bilam praised the Jewish people, indicated their special nation, Am Levadon Yishkan, how unique they are amongst the generation, amongst the peoples of the world, and how they received the Torah. Is now Rabosai, perhaps we could swing back to the beginning, the Gemara Bava Basra that we began with. And we say that there are two entities. There's Taurus Moshe and there's Parshas Bilam. And we ask the question, why? So Rashi says, well, Parshas Bilam doesn't say anything about Moshe Rabbeinu. and about, you know, what was Rashi's language? Let's go over it again about the tzarchei Moshe, the Seder Masav. Yeah, but what about the rest of the Torah? Everything was given to Moshe, and he after Hashem dictated, became part of Torah's Moshe. But the answer is there's a fundamental difference between Parshas Bilam and the rest of the Torah. All of Torah's Moshe was being written for Klal Yisrael, for all the generations. The word Torah means Horah, to teach the Jewish people for all generations. All of the Torah is being addressed to the Jewish people. We are sitting in the audience listening to the Torah. We as the people of Israel are receiving the Torah. It's meant to guide us. But there's one parsha in the Torah where we're not sitting in the audience, and that's the parsha of Bilam. The parsha of Bilam, his nevuah, is for the Umos HaOlam, not for Klal Yisrael. And therefore it's so critical from the Rabban's perspective to indicate that who is Bilam? He's a kosem. He will be killed at the cheref. He doesn't deserve the status of a Navi. It's all l'chvodim shel Yisrael. It's all so that the peoples of the world recognize the greatness of Klal Yisrael. They were forewarned. And don't come to me at the end of days with a counter-argument we didn't know. Let's go back to Rashi. She'enon tzarchei Moshe v'toraso v'seder masav. Parshas Bilam is not part of Torah's Moshe. Tzarchei Moshe v'toraso are things that Moshe has to transmit to Klal Yisrael for all generations, l'dori doris. But Parshas Bilam is exclusively dedicated to teach the Umos HaOlam the special, unique status of the Jewish people in the divine scheme of creation. Yehi Ratzon, may it be His will, that we should be Zoche to Umos HaMashiach, the Achris HaYom, a time in which the nations of the world will finally acknowledge all the great nevuos of Bilam that are not great because of Bilam. They're great despite Bilam. They're great because of the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Yehi Ratzon if His will that we as the people of the book, the people of Hashem, will be able to fulfill our unique, glorious contribution. Hashem gave us the Torah b'ma'or panim. Now we have to live up to the responsibility of publicizing Hashem, His greatness, His miracles, and His existence amongst the nations of the world. If the nations will recognize the message and the special unique role of Klal Yisrael, they'll desire to gravitate towards Klal Yisrael, to become partners with us in that glorious mission that was placed on the shoulders of the weak shoulders of mortal man, to reveal the greatness and the glory of Hashem. Ken Yiratzon. Amen.
Amen. Beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Thank you so much. And I guess we'll return to our Tuesday schedule.
Regular schedule.
You know, unless